Welcome to another episode of the Mentoring Minute podcast hosted by the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. Today, we're excited to share with you more information about our high school activity guide. Today's podcast is the audio captured from a webinar that we did celebrating the new high school activity guide. To download your copy of the resource, please visit albertamentors.ca/activity-book. This is a complimentary resource that supports our other Alberta education resources to help school-based mentoring. But whether you're in a school environment or not, we think there's a lot here that will help you. One of the frequent questions we get is what sort of meaningful, valuable activities can we do in a mentoring partnership between a mentee and a mentor? I think this resource really helps whether in a community-based or a school-based program, give you some ideas of purposeful and tangible activities that you can do together that meaningfully build trust and partnership in a relationship. We're excited to have with us Megan Cox and Vince Hill on the podcast to share with us some of their experiences, both working with Alberta Education and as a principal in a school. So we encourage you to visit albertamentors.ca and watch the video. You can see the slides and the rest of the presentation from the webinar. But we also encourage you to go and download the resource and think about how you can use it in your community-based or school-based mentoring program.
I would like to welcome our two presenters today. So Megan Cox is one of the full-time folks with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership via Alberta Education. She has been a principal, she's been a teacher, she's run mentoring programs, she has been up to her eyeballs in mentoring. We always learn so much from Megan when she's sharing in as well. Megan's going to give you a better introduction, but Vince has been a member of our Mentoring in Schools Committee. He's a principal himself down at Bizzano School, as well a fantastic resource for mentoring and folks around the province when they're looking for advice on operating a school-based mentoring program. Vince has been a go-to guy, and we're very, very happy that he can make the time for us today from a very, very busy school to share with us across Alberta some of the learnings from here. So we're going to switch spots, turn off the video, and jump into the presentation. Again, keep your questions coming in the chat box, and we'll get to them after the presenters.
Okay, I'm hoping everybody can hear me all right. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was just the idea of why we've done this, that there's a mentoring handbook as well as the activity book. The new mentoring handbook had already been released, the new really revised edition of it. It's a multi-year pilot program, obviously, as it says. Alberta Education has worked on it, Advanced Education and Technology has worked on it, Boys and Girls Club, Big Brothers Big Sisters. All of these have been partners in building these, both the handbook and the activity book, to build supports for our mentoring programs, both within formalized programs within the school, things that support our CTS courses, CTS being our Career and Technology Studies courses. So students can actually earn credits at the high school level for mentoring, or if they're just looking at running a mentoring program that's not necessarily always credit-based, but just in a different way to support our students, knowing that mentoring can be a multi-level type of intervention. It can be class-wide, or it can be a really individual resource as well. So the activity guide that we're going to go through today actually gives us some really great ideas of things that you can do with your students, that your high school students can do, that a student can do, that you as a mentor, if you're coming in, that your mentors can do with the kids that they've been matched with. So those are all available as a download, as a PDF that you can get on the AMP website. This leads into another resource that AMP has already developed. It's the Framework for Building Mentoring Relationships in Schools. It's just a framework, and if you are interested in setting one up, maybe you don't have one yet, or you're thinking about it, as some of you were, or just trying to refine what it might look like. This is a nice framework for looking at all of the possible approaches and models of school-based mentoring relationships, what it could look like, some outline of benefits, looks at the research around the supports that it gives students, as well as giving that list of resources to support that in-school mentoring relationship. There's some templates, there's around ideas around the legalities, around matching, all of that to support how you might set that up in your school. The last piece of this, when we think about the Teen Mentoring Toolkit, it's the resource that's designed for schools and community organizations looking to create that welcoming, caring, respectful, and safe community, because we know that mentoring relationships are one of the best ways that we can engage kids the research shows us that we have kids who are more engaged, we have better attendance, we have better high school completion, and it builds lots of those social emotional literacy type skills for all of our students, both the mentor and the mentee within the school. That toolkit through the Safe and Caring Schools and Communities is just another resource that we wanted you to be able to have in order to look at some strategies and tools for planning and implementing, as well as then evaluating, are we making a difference? What else could we do? How do we need to tweak this? All right, so when we're thinking about specifically, and I know a number of you aren't necessarily school-based, but this is something if you are looking at talking with your school, a local school, about how you might engage students, how you might build up some of that mentoring. There are actual CTS, so the Career and Technology Studies courses, that's the for credit at the high school level, grades 10 through 12. And what we've been doing is looking at how the teen mentoring resources, the online mentor training, the handbook, and the activity guide hit almost every outcome within the CTS courses, the 5 credits. So you can do them as individual credits or set them up all together. And just the outcomes that come from that and how it hits all of those. We've also been working with our CTF, so our Career and Technology Foundation Department, which is the junior high, and it can run from grades 5 through 8. And just the different projects that kids can be involved in at that level to support, one's called Be a Local Hero, so it's around volunteerism, mentoring through movement, but all around building those competencies that we talk about within Alberta education that are just really great skills for kids to have. We talk about it as communication. Another competency is collaboration. We want kids to have that global outlook and build that acceptance around diversity as well. All right, so if you haven't already, we want to make sure that you've downloaded that activity book. We want you to be sharing this, right? If you want us to come and do a presentation, is there some conference that you're looking at, or is there a peer organization that you're working with? Do you want us to write a newsletter article? Get in touch with Michael, that his email is there, because we can certainly connect you with the right people. We can help you out with that. And that's part of what our role is within the partnership, is supporting schools, supporting staff, supporting agencies across Alberta to support mentoring and making sure our kids are connected. All right, so we're going to take a look now at the mentor, the teen mentoring activity guide. My words are kind of slow this morning. It's the handbook. Sorry, yeah, I said it, yeah. And now you.
One of the activity. Yeah.
All right, so the activity guide itself has just that basic intro that gives us lots of the information about why this is, the purpose of it, how you might use it, how you might set it up. And it goes through, again, those connections to the competencies that we talked about. It's actually geared towards the person who's the mentor, not the person running the program. So if this is a specific book that you could give to somebody or that you might use as a mentor yourself, that could just, how do we strengthen our mentor relationships? How do we build some of those things? And then keeping track of some of it too. If you are a school-based, like, which ones have we done? How have we been doing it? And you can use those to as part of your credit building if you're looking at the high school. So we want to look at a system, right? And when we set goals with our mentees, and then we continue on. Part of it is around career coaching. So with your students or your kiddos, whether that's within a school or not, this can be a really handy tool to then create a toolkit for your student, a portfolio for your student, whether that's the mentor or the mentee, a mentor being the high school mentor. And it gives them a tool then to take with them to other places. So if you're working with a mentee who is younger, they actually then have a tool that they can take to their next teacher, to somebody else, to even a caseworker, and say, here are things that are about me. Here are things that I need in order to support my learning. It's building those self-advocacy skills that we really need our students to have as well. All right, so we've got that forward, some table of contents. all of that introduction, some strategies around being an effective teen mentor, which are also just great effective strategies for being a mentor in general, like Michael and Corey have said as well. Even though it says high school teen mentoring activity book, it's a mentoring activity book. And it's just great activities that I've done within my own classrooms and schools that I've worked in, but also when I work as a mentor as well outside of the class or school. All right. I'm just looking at which ones we might want to, where are we going to go next? So as I said, there's some career coaching. We want kids to be thinking about what they want to do when they're done school, whether that's our mentors, whether that's our mentees. A lot of this is geared for that career exploration that we want our younger kids to be thinking about. What do they like to do, and what are the skills that they need to be in order to do those things? It supports that classroom learning as well, and it creates, again, some of those projects that some of our younger kids can then use as well within their courses. So we think about that around the why was this resource created. We wanted to make sure that we are supporting anybody who might be involved in a mentoring program in a school, but also then outside of the school as well, because these are skills that are transfer outside to just real life situations as well. So thinking about what else is included, here's where we start to get into some of the activities. So you'll notice that it has the goal of the activity. There's always goals and outcomes. It tells you what supplies you might need. And then it goes step by step through what you need to do as the mentor. So again, not as the person running the program, but as the mentor of what you need to do in order to complete the activity. And then there's also with each activity, a black line master, so to speak, or a template of how to use it. So the first one is actually one of the ones I really like. It's that designing a CD cover. So if you were to design a CD cover to describe you to somebody else you're just meeting, what would be on it? What would that look like? And so then you can have your own CD cover sort of thing that you can keep and that you can share with somebody else, and that maybe you frame or put into an actual CD case, just as a neat way of showcasing who you are to each other. Okay. So there's lots of getting conversations started. Some of these great all about me activities, like I said, are great for that sharing of advocacy for students, who I am, what I need. And so we're thinking about when we start introducing our kids to all kinds of different people in their lives, building those skills in order to have conversations with people. So one of the things that Alberta Mentoring Partnership has done is also working around our youth in care. There's some specific things that we want to support all of our students, our diverse needs. So we have a toolkit around supporting Indigenous students as well, as well as new to Canada. So refugees and immigrants as well. So when we think about some of the other activities here, we've got this two-way interview, which is a great little conversation. Again, this is not something that a mentor is doing to a mentee. It's not just, I'm going to sit and watch you do it. These are meant to be interactive activities that you both do together so that you can build that relationship. You build that rapport with your student, which is really what the mentoring is all about, is building the relationship so that each mentee has a caring person in their lives, another caring person who understands them and knows them. So you can think about how you're more alike than different. One of the ones that maybe we'll skip to is on the My People tree. It's around page 41. So we can do learning preference inventories. Again, this is where it's great to have, to be able to take to a teacher or an EA or even as part of an individual program plan. So the My People tree starts to then talk about who I am as a person as well. Who are the people who are important to me? So it could be family members, friends, teachers, and other school staff. So we start to understand who else is supporting our kiddos that we're mentoring. So we want to think about, there's questions and some guiding questions that you as a mentor can ask, right? Who is the oldest person? Who's the youngest? You know, who on your tree would be a good person to discuss careers with? And you can talk about all of those pieces with them to build that network for our students. We want our students to know that there are lots of people in their lives who are also caring about them. The next activity is very similar. It's a personal network. So again, looking at who am I and who are the people I have around me in different ways to support. As a teacher, this is also really important for me to understand, because then I need to look at how else can I support and build up networks for my students that I might have in my classroom. And so as a mentor, this is also really, can be a really profound tool, because I know then what my students, how my students might be challenged and where they might need more support. What's another one that I really liked? We've got an interview with your mentor. You can actually interview. This is where the mentee interviews you. You can talk about your job, what you do, right? And so as a, if you're at a high school level, these are all things that are part of one of, at least one of the credits as well. So students can be doing this themselves. It also hits some of the career and life management outcomes as well. And like I said, it hits all of the competencies, which is why we, part of the reason we created this is to align with the competencies that we're trying to build out for our students, knowing that the competencies are really those life skills, the ways of being rather than necessarily content. At the end of the book, it talks about giving a summary, like who I am and what I've learned about myself. So around page 73, it actually talks about how, what have I discovered about myself? So again, as the mentee or the mentor, you can be looking at what are my strengths? What are activities that I really like to do? What are things that I learned about myself? And then creating an action plan from there. You create goals and SMART goal setting and looking at how do you know that you've achieved your goal? So it's not just, I want to get a job, but what your job might be, what are the steps you need to take in between some of that. So it looks at all the different pieces of setting goals, which is again, yet another skill that our students really need. Again, not just students, but adults too. What are we doing for time? I'm just talking really fast. All right, so when we think about the themes that were chosen, again, it's aligning with the competencies. I've talked a lot about my favorite activities. Is there anybody, I know I'm going to ask Corey and Michael what their favorite activities might be, and they can highlight those.
Sure, and maybe we'll turn it to the audience as well, too.
Yeah.
If you want to type in one of your favorite mentoring activities into the chat box, we'll share some of those with the group. Personally, mine are usually around sports. I find that it's the good old playing catch or playing basketball is a great way to trick someone into sharing their emotions. Usually it's me when I lose.
Yeah.
Little competition's always good. I'd turn it over and say anything, like even video games. Sitting down, just relaxing, having conversation, and playing a game is always fun. So.
Yeah. For many mentoring agencies, we hear this a lot in that many community organizations like bowling alleys or sports organizations like a football team or something will offer discounted tickets to mentoring programs. So if your mentoring program already isn't taking advantage of cheap Stampeders tickets or basketball tickets or whatever's big in your community, it's a great way even to go out and catch some minor hockey and to do that as an activity if your mentees are interested, as well, of course, music and art and culture, etc. So there's lots of great community promotions that get you out and provide a great avenue to have some of these conversations.
Yeah. One of my favorite activities that's not in the activity book, but something that I love and actually is something that really helps connect with kids is I love Lego. And so I bring out Lego sets and just being able to build, it creates that creativity and innovation. And it's also then a great way to sit with my mentor. And if we're having conversations, we can start to talk about things. And they can just have that free imaginative play. They get to create and do different things. And so, I mean, as a big Lego fan, which I'm kind of a nerd, I'm good with that. But kids get a real kick out of the fact that adults still want to play Lego too. And so it really creates some more bonding activities and moments with my mentor or mentee.
So, events, maybe this is a good segue to you. Do you want to share with us your favorite mentoring activities and how do you make a resource like this come alive in a school setting?
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of favorite kind of little activities that we do that I think that are important as well. And I think one being we really try to promote that volunteerism piece for our kids so that that they recognize that they're a bigger part of the community. And so, for example, they'll go to the old folks home and they'll actually maybe recently they did some stuff with helping them decorate cookies and being involved with, you know, their mentees as well too, and being a part of that process. So I think one of the things that's really unique about in our situation, and do you want me to just carry on and just go right into our school?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. I guess to start off with, I came here, this is my fifth year. I came here from Saskatchewan. And so I came into this school, and it was a new experience for me. And one of the things that I, for our situation, was that if you look here on the map, just to the left of us, there's a kind of that shaded in area below Galician and kind of to the west of Bassano. That's Siksika First Nation. And so we have 73 students that are actually coming to our school from Siksika First Nation. And actually probably one of the largest number of kids actually coming to a provincial school. There's a number that go to Milo, they go to Strathmore, they go to that standard school, but actually the largest volume of kids on the reserve actually come to our school here. And so when I came here, one of the things that we were really kind of exposed to is the idea that how do you get kids who are coming from a very different cultural perspective and help them feel more comfortable and more valued and appreciated in terms of their sense of belonging. And the idea was that when I started looking for a mentorship program, I was looking for something that would help particularly those bus situations that we were having coming from the reserve to here. And so those kids needed a little bit more. We were thinking, how do we find some of those older kids to work with some of those younger kids on the bus and just kind of just be a friend to those kids and kind of mentor them? And that was the initial idea behind how we got started and wanting to look into this. So I started looking around and I reached out to the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, and Carolyn Missel was actually involved in this at the time. And so I got kind of pulled into some of the different toolbox meetings and that were happening in Edmonton and so forth. But then our focus here was how do we work with our students. And I, in my head, and I know that it's been talked about already, that I was thinking the big selling point was going to be the CTS credits, and it isn't. It's there, but the kids didn't care about whether or not they got credits, or they would do the work and they would do the modules and things like that, but that wasn't the thing that attracted them and to get involved. It's been really the idea of we're trying to really focus a great deal on that relationship building. Our motto at our school here is respectful, responsible, and involved. And so as a result, this last year, we added one more piece to our motto, because it's be responsible, be respectful, be responsible, be involved. We added be kind. And that's been a really huge shift within our school, the idea that where we've seen more and more kids actually getting involved with their students, their mentees, because just purely out of this idea of being kind. It's not about, we've been trying to push kids towards, you know, it's so important to be respectful, but what we're noticing is that you can have kids who were, you tell them about being respectful, but on the outside they look respectful, but in the inside there wasn't that, you know, things weren't changing on the inside, but on the outside they were showing that they were being responsible, they were doing their work, they were helping out with different areas, but we didn't find them internalizing some of this stuff. So we added the component of be kind, because that's really about the heart piece of this. And so we're saying to our students, yes, we want you to be respectful, responsible, and involved, but we want you to be, most importantly, we want you to be kind, and that should drive everything else. And so as a result, we've had some challenges in terms of like our first year when we started, we had only about 8 kids that were decided to become mentors. And we actually at that time had all the kids in one room. They would take a mentor together as a collective and kind of with their kids and do activities. And that worked okay. But the next year, and then we had a change in personnel in terms of running this, because I have usually our counselor within our school, and now we've actually changed the terminology for our counselor. It's now a wellness mentor, so it actually fits really well for us as well. But we've now trying to put more onus and responsibility on the students that they set a time that they actually go out and work with these kids. And see, you're seeing here that these are some of the activities. We have a learning commons area, and so the kids will actually set up some time to go play with these kids with some games. Sometimes we'll do it once a month where we kind of bring them together to kind of do this as a big collective and a group. But the rest of the time, they're required to actually go out and actually do the activities throughout the week. And we keep track of them in terms of monitoring whether or not they're staying on top of this with their students as well and working with them. And the thing about it is that we're finding that these kids are actually really, until you've seen it, and I'm sure that many of you who are on here have seen this as well, but there's a real bond that's created with these kids. For example, the one kid down in the bottom left hand here, this is a young little guy that is coming from a home life that's really struggling. His mom is single parent, and he's just really lonely, and he looks forward to that time that he can work with his mentor. And what we love the piece for us is we have First Nation mentors working with non-First Nation mentees and vice versa. And it's that we're trying to create this sense of unity and diversity and really make people realize that this is important, not to to not worry about the cultural components and the differences, but to really to focus in on how do we show care for people as human beings. And it's really that embracing that humanity component. And so it's been exciting because the program keeps growing and more students are getting involved, students that we wouldn't have expected. And the other part of this too, one of the things we used to think, well, maybe if we just highlight the idea that these students can be involved in, with the mentorship, and that's a good thing for them to put on their resume that they're, a lot of the students are saying they don't want that to be the motivation, that they don't want that to be the driver for them. They want to be doing this because it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. And that kids are actually, they're helping others. And we're seeing really positive shifts. And so much so that from the time that I've been here to the time now, like up and even to last year, we were still seeing some discipline issues within our school. And how we select our kids as well, as mentees, come from our elementary teachers who are making recommendations of kids that they see who they feel primarily are kind of not so much just focused on behavioral issues, but kids who are struggling with some loneliness and feeling a sense of detachment and just need to have a sense of belonging. And so as they're identified and we pair them up, we're seeing a decline in terms of even our discipline issues within our school. And so much so that I've noticed this year that my mornings are, I rarely see a kid in the office. I'm freed up to do work that I needed to get done and actually being able to get it done. So we're just seeing a tremendous shift in our climate within our school. The school culture is really, really embracing that sense of community. Our motto this year is Team Bassano, and it's all about pulling together as a whole group, as a team, and it's been really positive.
That's awesome, Vince. Are there other resources that you've tapped into to kind of set up or ideas around some of those activities? I know you created that Learning Commons, which you said previously when you and I have talked about how much of a benefit that was for you and being able to run your mentoring program in a different way. But what about other resources that you might have used?
Yeah, one of some of the other resources that we've been using as well are, of course, I've created a Google Classroom for each of the CTS modules as well. And so then we have some of those courses that are actually, well, from the activities are posted in there as well for them to work through. One of the resources that we've been kind of tapping into, for example, is the Kids Up Front program out of Calgary. And oftentimes what they'll do is they have tickets that are given to them from sporting events or from theater events and whatever. And so what we're doing, and we're not able to necessarily take our mentors with their mentees to these events, but we'll oftentimes take our mentors out as leaders and take them out and give them something to kind of support them. And I've taken kids to Slipknot concerts and things like that, which you wouldn't expect, but it was entertaining and it was interesting and I enjoyed it. But more importantly, it's when those students who are mentors that are graduating,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're putting up their memory walls in terms of their slideshow, that's the thing that they're talking about is they talk about the relationship they had with their mentee, but how they got to do some things also with their mentors. And we're being a mentor to them as well, too.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to mention is that it's reciprocal, right? The mentors get something out of this, too, and get that guiding and coaching and build that relationship with another caring adult that they wouldn't have necessarily had before they started the mentoring. So.
We go through an interview process as well too, and sometimes we've chosen some students that, you know, are right on that fringe in terms of you think, oh my goodness, really, they're the kids that were struggling with some of the, just their, some of their behavior, their language, whatever they're, you know. And this has been one of the things that's kind of helped shape them and help them realize and own their own growing up and maturing process, and it's been good.
That's great.
That's interesting how the intervention goes both ways.
Yeah,
it sure does.
Yeah. So I guess we'll turn to the chat box and ask again for any of the viewers here who, if you have any questions, you can type them in. We'll give you a moment. There's a question, do you have to be a partner of the AMP to use these resources? No, you don't. You can download them from our site. We do ask that you often, on many of our resources, that you type in an email. It's most helpful because then we can ask you for help with evaluating our resources. So we ask you just to provide an email and you can download them. However, partnership is free in the AMP. So if you're in a school or a community that would like to become a partner and learn more about how we're promoting mentoring throughout Alberta, that would be, just visit albertamentors.ca, click on the school or agency partner tab, and just fill in the form there. So, Corey, I can't read the question from here. Would you mind?
Sure. We have a comment here. I'm from the SRO for the, sorry if I pronounced this incorrectly, but for the Sioux Tina Elementary, middle and high school. I find students open up individually during recess. They enjoy my time with them and ask a lot of questions about being a police officer. Then they start talking about incidents they have observed or witnessed. The difficulty I have is responding to some of the events they've mentioned are traumatizing, in my view.
Yeah, that's a hard one for sure.
Yeah.
Megan, how did you when you were, or Vince, please jump in too, but when you have a mentoring program and there's disclosures of really.
And that's one of the things that goes through both on the online mentor training, the handbook that goes with this, and a little bit even into the activity book is, what do you do when students do have disclosures? And it really goes through the guidelines around duty to report, things like that, as well as making sure that you set up within the school of who can you connect these kids to? Because as a mentor, when we're thinking about that role, you're not there as a therapist. You're there to support your student, but it could be, or your kiddo, but it also could be that support is linking them to the appropriate supports in a different way. But as a SRO, I have to admit, I love that a school resource officer was out playing at recess. I think that's the best way to be able to build those relationships and alleviate some of those fears. But again, you're going to hear some things that sometimes, you're right, can be really traumatizing. And setting up our classrooms and our schools with a whole school approach around trauma-informed practices which is what some of this is. It's around building relationships and knowing that students have somebody to talk to. So being able to have those conversations and set them up with the supports actually then makes them really more readily available for learning.
And I would say that's the same for the community-based programs. That's why it's critical to have good match support, to have good effective quality evidence-based practices around screening, matching, training, and closure. It's important to have connections to other community partners that a match support person can help you refer a mentee who does disclose really challenging pieces too. I mean, the trauma happens whether you have a mentoring program or not, but the mentoring program can be an effective intervention in terms of helping get the youth to the support that they need to be successful. Maybe be mindful of the time, we'll just jump ahead. So as I mentioned, for those of you who are interested in becoming partners of the AMP, there's many benefits to partnership. You get a newsletter a couple of times a week with different information ranging from grants to resources to funding to awards, all sorts of different things. You get all of our webinars and resources, etc., and a first chance to come to events such as the National Mentoring Symposium or Research Days or join communities of practice. And on that note, Megan, what do you have up your sleeve?
Well, one of the subcommittees that I sit on and that Vince is also on, I think he may have mentioned earlier, is our Mentoring in Schools subcommittee, which is part of the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. And we get together, it's school-based partners, myself, and then other mentoring agencies to look at how do we support the mentoring in schools, whether that's mentoring programs coming into schools where those agencies are available, or how do we set up mentoring programs within our schools when there isn't an agency available, and what resources are available, say, around the CTS or CTF courses. And so that's absolutely part of our mandate around the Mentoring in Schools program. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that we can connect people across the province to other people who are running these programs already. We don't want to have people reinventing the wheel or so frustrated with something that they're like, this is too much work. There are people who are already doing this. As you can see, like Vince has set up an amazing program at his school and is doing great things. We have other partners across the province that are in small, rural, and remote communities, K-12 or just high school, who have set up different programs and how they've set it up so we can connect you as a provincial mentoring community of practice. It's a provincial network in order to connect you to the people who are in similar contexts, whether that's a massive high school of 1,500 to 2,000 students or a tiny K-12 school that's got 150 students. Of how can we do this? How can we support our kids in different ways around mentoring, knowing that mentoring is an evidence-based practice that supports our kids in lots of different ways. And so if you are interested in any more information around that or in joining our community of practice, please just send me an email. I'd love to talk with you and just see what you're doing or what your interests are or where you want to go with this. And we can certainly look at connecting you and then building those times to meet, because we want to be sharing our best practice with people as well. So it's, again, not having to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, we're absolutely not looking to add more to your already busy schedule. We know that there's a lot that you do, and we're hoping that we can help everyone work smarter, not harder, mm-hmm. and take many of the existing best practices and implement them and make it easier. Megan brought a binder full of resources and documents, just making sure we covered everything that we wanted to cover today before we conclude. Vince, we know you have to get back to scarf a sandwich and run and get teaching right away too. So we want to very much thank you for your time today. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I think that, you know, one of the things I think we're fortunate with is the fact that we actually have a K-12 school, and it makes it, from our standpoint, that, you know, when we take our grade 9 to 12s and we're trying to match them up with younger kids, it works really well. And I know that I hear of different schools where they're just an elementary school, and how do you do it? I think you can do it. It's just you have to be a little bit more creative and a little more resourceful. So I think that's one of the things I wanted to add here. But and we are looking to try to create more networks within our different regions as well. I think that's an important piece as part of that committee that both Megan and I are on. It's yeah, I represent a, you know, a Southern school, but there are other schools. We need to get them on board somehow, and we need to network those people and get them into a situation where we're kind of collectively pulling together and kind of supporting each other. And we're not there yet, but we're working towards that, and that's a goal that we have, and I think it's going to come.
And if you're not school-based but are running a school-based mentoring program, like you're an agency that goes into schools or you're interested, you are also welcome to be a part of that community of practice.
Absolutely.
This is not just for teachers or admin staff. It's for anybody who's supporting kids, right? That's what the school-based community, that's what our subcommittee is about. So we have those agencies because we want everybody's input, right? We're better together when we think about it. So.
And I think we also need to really promote the idea, start small, you know, and,
yeah.
And if you haven't done anything yet, just starting small is really important and really fostering that it's a mindset. It really is around those kids in terms of understanding their role and how they become somebody who's a meaningful mentor in their life and positive.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a whole class either. That is.
What we've done in our school, in grade 8, because we only take grade 9s to 12 for our mentors, but in grade 8, we've actually created a program called the Leadership Resiliency Program. And the idea behind that is selecting particular kids that we think who have potential to be leaders in the future and lead them through. And those are kids not always the best behaving students, but they see real potential in them. And so we do a lot of work with them in grade 8 getting doing some volunteerism and things like that in the community. And then we encourage them to become a part of that grade 9 group in, as far as mentors. And almost all of our kids in the LRP program become mentors. And it becomes a feeder for those kids coming in. And it really kind of just supports them all the way through.
That's awesome. I love the fact, Vince, that you've talked about this a couple of times, that it's the students that sometimes you don't expect, right? We used to have a traditional view that only the really good kids that attended all the time, that had the best behavior, that would be the leaders, whereas you're touching base and hitting those kids who do maybe have some of those behavior problems, who may have had some attendance issues, but this actually helps them gain those skills that we're wanting them to. And I love that you're looking broadly at that, and I think that's really important.
Excellent. Well, to be mindful of Vince's time, thank you so much again for sharing with us and for bringing that that school-based perspective. Corey's going to make sure we share your email again in the show notes if people have questions for you directly. Megan, however, we always advise if you're in a school and you want to get started, whether it's just a small group or getting a class or CTS credits or CTF credits or anything you're interested in, Megan is definitely your school point of contact. So thank you both again for hosting and for sharing. This is amazing. We're really excited. I know I sat down and went through it and had easily a dozen different activities that I want to share and implement. So thank you both so much for coming and sharing with us today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks to anybody who's tuned in and given up your lunch hour, you know, as you're eating. I hope you all had a chance to have lunch. We do appreciate you tuning in to these. One thing I should mention is there are some other webinars that are already archived, and I think Corey mentioned that, but there are some ones specifically around some of the CTS, setting that up if you're interested. There's other ones on the online mentor training. We just ran that last week. And so there are lots of webinars already archived that you may want to check out as well.
Yeah, I think we did a school-based mentoring 101 with Megan's predecessor that, though it's almost 2 years old, it's still very, very true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great weekend, everyone. And if it's snowy where you are, drive safe.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please visit www.albertamentors.ca to see our resources, explore our content, and learn more about how you can expand and enhance your mentoring program. Please subscribe to our podcast on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever you find your podcast. And please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can watch our webinars and take more of our great content back to your mentoring program. If you have a guest or a topic you would like covered on our show, please shoot us an email. We want to hear your mentoring challenges and celebrate your big wins. Reach out to us at mentor.support@albertamentors.ca